Good to see you this morning. Let's turn in our Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. Thank you, brother. Blessed Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day you've blessed us with, God, to come together once again this side of eternity, Lord, to worship you. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us, God, to worship you with all our hearts, soul, mind, and strength today, Lord, as we come together. I pray, Lord, that your perfect will and way would be done in the midst of this meeting today. Pray you'd minister to hearts, Lord, this morning, God, in a very special way. Lord, encourage the ones that are downtrodden. Lord, I pray you'd touch the ones, God, that need a special touch from heaven. Lord, I just pray, God, that you'd help us, Lord, all to be found faithful to you, Lord. And, God, that we'd all submit ourselves to you. God, that you'd use us for your glory, your honor. God, to bring praise into your holy name. Lord, we praise you and we thank you, God, for what you're doing here in this place. And, Lord, what you're doing in hearts here, Lord. I just thank you, God, for your presence, Lord. I thank you, God, that, Lord, you're ever present with us. Lord, we're never alone. I thank you for that promise, God. I thank you, Lord, that you're there. Lord, I pray you'd bless every teacher, God. I pray you'd use each of us, God. Speak through us, God. Use us as your mouthpiece. Lord, I pray your will be done, Lord, in this service. Bless Brother Ken as he comes, Lord, to bring the bread of life to us this morning during the worship hour. I pray you'd lead him and guide him. God, fill him with a double portion of thy precious Holy Ghost. Bless him, God. Speak through him, God, what we need to hear, Lord. I pray your will be done in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. 1 Kings chapter 19. And I want to start. The thought I want to bring today is commitment. Commitment. There's commitment. There's an important key to fulfillment of your calling. All of us have a calling. Some of us are called to preach, some are called just to teach, or some called to minister through song. But all of us, as children of God, are called to be a witness. We're called to share the gospel. But commitment is probably the most vital key of our calling. I mean, it's the most vital. Nothing can compensate for lack of commitment. Nothing. You may be gifted, and I've seen a lot of people that are gifted in a lot of different areas, but your gift will not compensate for lack of commitment. You see, I've seen folks that are gifted in singing, but their gift does not compensate for them not being here. You know it? I mean, and the thing is that I don't care what you have. I don't care what your gift is. If you're not committed, it doesn't amount to anything. It really doesn't amount to anything. How committed are you? How committed are you? Elisha. This is who we're going to be talking about, Elisha and Elijah. Elisha was fully committed to his calling from the very day he was called to be Elijah's successor. Look here in chapter 19 and verse number 19. The Bible says, so he departed thence. This is Elijah now. God had spoke to him there as he was in the cave at Horeb, and he told him what he wanted him to do. And back up in verse number 16, he said there, along about the middle of the verse, and he said, anoint Elisha, the son of Shaphat. He said, shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. In other words, he was going to be Elijah's successor. God told him to anoint him as such. Verse 19, so he departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12th. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and mother, and then I will follow thee. He said unto him, go back again, for what have I done to thee? He returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen and gave unto the people, and they did eat. That right there tells you he's committed already, because he took the very instruments that he used in his work, and he did away with them. But he used them for the honor of God. It said, and they did eat, and he arose, and they went after, then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. Now, it's interesting because after this verse right here, after this text that we just read, About 20 years pass, and we don't hear of Elisha again. Now, that would tear a lot of folks out of frame right there, that say or so-called committed, because if their name's not in lights, man, they ain't gonna be around nothing. I have issues. I think about these, a lot of singing groups that are into the entertaining part of the ministry. Well, they want to be entertained. They want to be applauded. They want to be, praised for their great, voices and their music and everything like that. But I like these kind of hang around here. They just wanted to worship. Just let us get in on some worship and we'll be all right. Okay. And it ain't about them. It's about the Lord. Commitment. How's your commitment? First of all, let's turn over into 2 Kings chapter 2. This is where our main text is going to be here, talking about Elijah. About 20 years again has passed here, and we don't see Elisha's name mentioned up until this point. In 2 Kings chapter number 2, now we find here, they come back on the scene here. And it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind that Elijah went down with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee. And this is the third time he had told him to wait. He said, tarry here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. And Elisha said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off. Now I want you to remember that phrase right there, because we're going to come back to that a little bit later. And they too stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee, but if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Now, commitment. Let's notice this in their text now. First of all, Elisha, now we're dealing with Elisha here. We find, first of all, the proving of his commitment. In that, we see the test of loyalty. Let's look at this now, the test of loyalty. Notice I said there in the reading of the text, Elijah said three times, Elisha, tarry here. Just wait here because the Lord's called me to another place. First of all, he said he sent me to Bethel, okay, in verse number 2 there. Then in verse 4, he said, Elisha, tarry here. The Lord sent me to Jericho. And then in verse 6, he tells Elisha again, tarry here. The Lord has sent me to Jordan. The Lord sent me to Jordan. The test of his loyalty. You see, Elisha was being tested as to how loyal he was to his call. You see here, Elijah said, told him three times, tarry, tarry, tarry. Does that remind you of another text in the scripture? Over in Ruth. Ruth chapter number 1. Verses 11 through 18, we find there Naomi, and Naomi told her daughter-in-laws, she said, look, she said, just wait here. Just don't go, you don't have to go with me. Just wait, just wait. Just tarry here. You don't have to follow me. But yet, Ruth followed Naomi. She said in the very, very, let's go back. Let's go to Ruth right quick. And let's look at that text. I want you to see this. This is very, very familiar scripture as far as we find this read a lot of times in a during a wedding ceremony. It's very, very good thought here on this commitment in Ruth chapter number 1. The Bible says here, verse 15, she said, "Behold, thy sister-in-law has gone back." This is Naomi talking to Ruth, "unto her people and to her gods." Notice that little g there. "Return thou after thy sister-in-law." And Ruth said, verse number 16 of Ruth chapter 1, "Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me." You see the commitment in her statement there? She said, "I'm going to go on with you. I'm going to continue with you." But in the same sense here, we find Elisha. Now, Elisha did not tarry. He didn't wait behind. Now, Naomi nor Elijah, neither one begged their companion to go with them. They didn't beg their trip companion to go. Naomi didn't beg Ruth to go with her. But Ruth said, "I'm going with you. I'm committed." Elisha said, Elijah didn't beg him. Elijah told him to wait. He said, "Just tarry here." Elisha said, "No, I'm going to go on. I'm going to go on." Now, it's not written in the text that he said that, but you see, he didn't tarry behind. So you know he did say it because he didn't tarry behind. He went with him. Verse 2, look what they said. Look in verse 2, the latter part of that verse. So they, not just he, they went down to Bethel. Verse 4, he said, so they came to Jericho. Verse 6, and they too went on. Verse number 8, latter part of the verse. They too went over on dry ground. You see, Elisha was committed. Elisha was committed to his call. Not only do we see the test of his loyalty in that he did not wait, he did not tarry, but we see the test of his labor. Test of his labor. The trip was not made on interstates or in air-conditioned vehicles. Somebody say amen right there. Okay? It was made on 2 feet over some rough terrain. That'd knock out 99% of the people today. I mean, if you can't have an air-conditioned church or air-conditioned car or whatever to go in, I'm not going. And some of them have it anyway and still don't go. So, I mean, you know, there's no commitment. We don't have, folks aren't committed today like Elisha was and Ruth was back in the Bible times. We're not committed. We're stinking blessed. We're rents what we are. We're spoiled. And we're not committed. The people aren't committed. I have to include myself in that sometimes too. I'm one of those too sometimes. But real test of our commitment comes in the roughness of the path. That's where the real test comes. Smooth sailing with the wind at your back does not indicate any kind of loyalty or commitment. It does not indicate that you are dedicated to the call. Because anybody can, man, as long as smooth sailing and the wind's at your back, oh man, everything's great, everything's good, everything's fine. But when the going gets tough, as the saying goes, the tough get going. When the going gets tough, the tough get going. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 3, the Bible says there, Paul's talking to Timothy, Paul says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." I'm going to turn the air on just a little bit here. I see folks out there fanning, and it's getting hot up here. So let me put the air on here just a little bit. Might save me right there to the air. If I can get going here just a minute. All right. He said, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Our generation has few who can endure hardness. Most churches, and I say most churches, are filled with an abundance of cream puffs who whimper at the first sign of difficulty. And they whine at the first sign of difficulty and hardship. The slightest difficulty overwhelms their pursuit of any call of the Lord. God help us to be committed. God help us to be committed. And when the going does get tough, we ought to be tough enough to get going. We ought to keep going. We ought to stay faithful to the Lord. Stay faithful to the call. And stay faithful. You know, you see, and it amazes me. I see people you know, things get tough in their life, and they, you know, they've come to church and they've come to church, and all of a sudden things get tough and they drop out. I mean, my gosh, this is where you get help. This is where the help is. It's not out there in the world. You're not going to get help for your family in the world. The help is here in the church. And so we ought to be faithful. Stay faithful. Even when the going gets tough, we ought to get more faithful and more faithful. I mean, really get more committed, because, folks, it's here is where our help is. The help is in the Lord. It's not in the world. You see, these people out in the world that fall to the wayside when tough times come, they never can get beyond Gilgal with Elijah. They never could go beyond Gilgal. But yet, Elisha went on to Bethel, to Jericho, and to Jordan. He followed him on. He kept on. They haven't, you know, the folks that could never endure, these people that have trouble following or being faithful when difficulty comes, could never endure a night in prison with Paul. For after all, they have trouble enduring a 30-minute sermon. Did y'all get that? Y'all didn't get that. They could never, yeah, some of y'all are like, oh, I don't know, but I won't say amen to that one. They could never endure a night in prison with Paul, because after all, they have trouble enduring a 30-minute sermon. Or 45 minutes, whatever it may be, but that's fine. Let her rip. Their idea of hardship is a Motel 6 instead of a Hilton. A church auditorium, their idea of hardship is a church auditorium without air conditioning and padded pews. God help us, we need to be faithful. Elisha was made of better stuff than that. Elisha was made of better stuff. He was committed. Not only do we find the test of loyalty and the test of labor, but thirdly we see the test of loneliness on this thought. Bethel and Jericho were schools of the prophets. And this is an interesting thought right here. Now, this is something to see. Now, I told you to watch the text there, because we'd come back to that. Again, these were schools of the prophets, seminaries, so to speak. Young recruits for the ministry are being trained in these schools. Now, here we notice in verse number 3, the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said to him, "Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today?" And then look in verse number 5. The sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him the same thing. "Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today?" And both times Elisha said, "Yeah, I know it. Shut up." That's what he said. He said, "Hold ye your peace." In Bowden terminology, Brother Ken refers to that a lot, Rammer terminology too. I'll go ahead and say that. Shut up. I know it. Okay? You see, they wanted to display themselves as being spiritual. They said, "Oh, did you not know that God's going to take Elijah away from you today?" And Elisha said, "I know that. Just hush. Just shut up." I mean, but what they were doing in the sense of him telling them to be quiet is that they were continually on and on. "Hey, listen, did you hear about that? Did you know that Elijah was going to be taken away from you?" Elisha said, "Hush." They did not display the spirituality. They spoke pridefully to Elisha and wanted him to know how much they knew. You see, that's the problem with people today, is that they get a little hint of the Bible and then they say, "Well, I know all. I know it all now. I mean, just ask me. I'll be glad to tell you. And if you don't ask me, I'm going to tell you anyway." You know. But yet there's no commitment in their voices. There's no commitment in their lives. They showed little faith, little or no faith. Because look in verse number 7. Look where they were standing when Elisha was right there with Elijah. Verse number 7, 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off, and they too stood by Jordan. So they were standing afar off. They were standing on the sidelines when Elisha was on the field in the battle with Elijah. They were standing on the side, had no faith, they had no commitment. I'm afraid that's where a lot of our seminaries are today. You got these cream puff so-called preachers that's in there that's getting training, and they don't have a clue. They have no call of God on their life. They have no commitment to their life. But folks, we need to be committed. We ought to be committed. Stay in the battle. When it gets hot, when it gets tough, when it gets trying, stay in the battle. Fight harder. Get closer to the Lord. Keep on fighting in the battle. How others treat and support us will be a strong test of our commitment. Does it take somebody coming patting you on the back saying, "Keep on going," or, "Boy, you sure are doing a good job," and whatever else? Does it take that to keep you going? Or is it just the fact that you love the Lord Jesus so much that you say, I'm going to go on with you, regardless of whatever anybody else says, I'm going to be faithful to you, Lord. I'm going to go on. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 4, what Paul said. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 4. I want you to see what Paul had to say. His final letter to Timothy here. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Don't you see what the Apostle Paul said? What a statement. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 16. He said, and he then talked about Alexander the coppersmith there in verse number 14. I noticed this in my reading. Now watch this right here. Let me read verse 14. I'm going to show you this. It's just a little extra. This is not an outline. Just a little extra. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. Now, notice what he said about this now. The Lord reward him according to his works. Now watch that. Because it's going to change a little bit when he gets down, when he's talking about another group. Of whom be thou aware also, for he greatly withstood our words. At my first answer, here we are now, answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God, now watch this, I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. You see, now he's talking about brothers in Christ. Now there's a difference now. You see, Alexander was an agent of the devil. See, the devil sent him to cause him harm. He sent him to cause him trouble. And Paul said, the Lord reward him according to his works. But now down here, he said, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it not be laid to their charge. You see? So, you think about Peter, back when the Lord was crucified. He stood afar off. He stood to the side, and he said that he denied him three times. You see, the Lord says, he told him, he said, Peter, you're going to do it. You're going to deny me three times. And he did exactly what the Lord said he was going to do. But you see, the thing about it is that the Lord had forgiveness for Peter. He knew he was going to do it. He forgave him because Peter was repentant of that. But yet, in here we find that Paul said, I pray God that not be laid to their charge. But now notice, watch this now, verse 17. Back to our thought. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Paul did not back down. He said, no man stood with me. But he didn't stop and say, and I quit. No, he kept on. He kept on. He said, verse 17, you see, this is the only one you need to stand with you anyway. The Lord stood with me. That's what Paul said. That's who you need to stand with you. And so the thing is, folks, if he's called you to do something, you ought to be faithful to him in that calling, because you know he's going to stand with you. Folks, he will not leave you. I don't know why we get this thought in our head and this idea that we're by ourselves. Oh, you know, it's terrible. It's all terrible because we don't have anybody standing with us. Well, do you have to have a brother or sister standing with you? It's nice. It's wonderful. Now, I praise God for my brothers and sisters to stand with me. But folks, listen, when it comes down to, it really comes down to it. The Lord's the only one we need. He's the only one we need. And so Paul said, I'm going to keep on. Elisha, he kept on. He wasn't looking at the prophets. He was looking at Elijah. He said, I want to follow him because he's following God. You see. Now, not only do we see here the proving of his commitment, but also we see the promise for his commitment. Commitment brings compensations. Y'all believe that? Yes. Commitment brings compensations. Dedication brings dividends. Dedication brings dividends. For Elisha, there were a number of rewards for his faithfulness to his call. What were some of those rewards? Well, just being with Elijah was a reward. I mean, folks, you think about it. The way that God had used Elijah in the past, and how he had wrought great victories through Elijah. I'm reminded of how that fire fell from heaven there on the mountain and consumed the sacrifice. And of course they slew the prophets of Baal, and great things that Elijah had done. I mean, he was known as one that had walked with God. Just the fact that Elisha was able to hang around with him and just glean off of Elijah Well, that was a blessing. That was a dividend. That was a compensation for his commitment. Seeing Elijah part the Jordan River and walking over on dry ground with him, wouldn't you say that was a compensation? Man, that was a dividend of being committed. Not only that, but also the promise, and what we're going to talk about here, the promise given to him by Elijah. The promise for his commitment. First of all, we see here the selected for the promise. Look at the text here in verse number 9. The selected. And boy, this right here is some key stuff right here. Now watch this. Verse number 9. And it came to pass when they were gone over, that is gone over Jordan, that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. The selected, let's look at the selected. It came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha. Now, it might do you good to underline those two words right there, unto Elisha, unto Elisha. Because those two words speak volumes to us. You see, Elijah did not give the promise to those sons of the prophets. Those little seminary boys that were hanging out on the other side of the Jordan River. He didn't give the promise to them. He didn't say, he didn't speak into them and say, hey, what do y'all want? He didn't holler back and say, hey boys, what y'all want? I'm about to be called out. What do y'all want? No. He spoke to Elisha because Elisha was the only one that hung with him. He stayed with him. He was committed. You see, he was selected. He spoken to Elisha. Only Elisha was qualified for the promise. He had proven himself to be loyal and faithful. I wonder at the end of the way, is the Lord going to find us to be loyal and faithful to Him? Is He going to be able to look back over our lives? He's keeping a record. Have we been loyal to Him? Have we been faithful? Have we followed Him every step of the way? Some people have a great deal of trouble with prayer promises that seem to be a blank check. And that's what this was. Look what he said. He said there, ask what I shall do for thee. He didn't limit it saying, well, let's see, Elisha, you can ask me for this, you can ask me for this. No, he said, ask what I shall do for thee. That's wide open. Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken from thee. Ask what I shall do. One promise that folk have trouble with is in John chapter 14. Look right there. Because the same thoughts here. Here it is, New Testament, John chapter 14. Let's look right here right quickly. John chapter 14. This is the open-ended. John chapter 14. Verse number 13. Jesus Christ speaking. Notice what he said. The Lord said, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. That the Father may be glorified in the Son. Look in verse 14. He said it again. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. People have problems with that. They have a problem with open-ended. It's like a blank check. Instead of a great promise, it's become a great problem to a lot of folks. And the thing is people ask for things, but they don't get them. And they say, no, Lord, you said if I just ask. You see, he said, ask in my name and I'll do it. The problem is, this thing about it is, we ask for things we don't need. And God says, I'm gonna keep you from grief. I'm going to keep you from being hurt. I'm not going to give it to you because it's going to hurt you. You see, he's not going to do anything to us that will harm us. Like Brother Ken says, he'll let you be hurt. He'll hurt you, but he won't ever harm you. So the thing is that he said this has become a great problem. It was an open-ended thing. Ask what you will. People ask for many things but do not get them. The problem is some, listen to this right here too. Here's another thing. Some claim the promise that have no right to claim the promise. Notice this right here. Watch this now. The promise was made in a context to those who demonstrated great loyalty to Christ. Now, would we be one of those that are included in the promise? Ask what you will. Ask what you will. Elijah told Elisha, he said, ask what you will. Specifically to him. Are you a part of those that the promise is made to? Before you start claiming a promise, listen now. Make sure you're on the east side of the Jordan with Elijah and not up on a hill standing somewhere with the prophets. There, right there, is the key why a lot of us don't get the things that we really ask for. And I'm talking about things we really are seeking for. Is because we're not committed. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. If you're not committed in little things, you're not going to get great things with God. You've got to be committed in the little things. Start with those baby steps and then keep on with Him. Don't quit. Don't quit when the going gets tough and you start stumbling around or whatever, you know, and you're having trouble in a difficult situation. Don't quit then. You got to keep on going. You see, because, again, this promise was specifically to Elisha because he was committed. Are we committed? Are you committed? Lord just don't give me what I asked for. Well, are you committed? How committed are you to it? How committed are you to it? Look here in the text now. Let's look further in the text. The selected for the promise. Not only do we see the selected for the promise, we see the stipulations for the promise. There were some stipulations here. Now, watch this. First of all, there were two different stipulations to this. And it's interesting here now. Of course, number one being commitment had to be the first thing. But even with that, now he was specifically talking to Elisha. But there were some stipulations even to his request to Elisha in this. Now watch this in verse number 9. Ask what I shall do for thee. Look, here it is right here. Before I be taken away from thee. There's one of the stipulations. Before I be taken away from the opportunity requirement. The opportunity requirement is the first one. Ask before. The opportunity for blessing, listen now, is not forever. The opportunity for blessing is not forever. Don't be late in seeking the blessing. Don't be late in it. Many people miss blessings because they have not given them the proper priority in their life. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 33, Jesus said, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." You got to seek first the kingdom of God. Don't be late in seeking the blessing. Don't be tardy in seeking the blessing. This fact right here in this text here, he said, ask before I be taken away. Because he said, more or less what he was saying is, Elisha, if you wait till after I'm gone into heaven, you can forget it. I mean, you're not getting it. You're not going to get anything. Look what he said. This destroys the teaching of the Roman Catholic Church about praying to dead saints. Did y'all know that they teach that? That's the teaching of the Roman Catholic Church, that you can pray to dead saints. You can seek out dead saints. I mean, the very fact they pray to Mary. I mean, Mary was, no doubt, I believe she's Christian. She's born again. She's in heaven. But you don't pray to Mary. Mary's not one to be prayed to. She can't get you in touch with the throne of God. It's the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, is the one that gets you in touch with the throne of God, because He's sitting at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. So, the Scripture does not teach us to pray to any bygone saint. If you want a favor from Elijah, what he's saying here is, Elisha, you better ask me while I'm living, while I'm here. Because when I'm gone, forget it. You can forget it. I'll be in heavenly places. All right? So you got to ask. Don't be late in asking. The opportunity requirement. Secondly, the observation requirement. Look in verse number 10, the observation. He said, Elijah said to him, "Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be done unto thee. It shall be so unto thee, but if not, it shall not be so." If thou see me, not only the opportunity you got to ask before, but the observation. If you see me, observe with your eyes. If you see me, don't be distracted in seeking the blessing. Don't be distracted. If Elisha wanted the blessing, he'd have to commit to stay with Elijah. He had committed to him to this point. I mean, they didn't come across Jordan on dry ground. See, Elisha didn't know the very moment that Elijah was going to leave, but he knew he'd better stay with him because he didn't know the moment. You see, we don't know when the Lord's coming back, but are we walking close to Him, enough to Him, to where when He does come, it won't catch us right off, I mean, completely off guard. Now, we're going to be surprised. Now, I'm not saying we're not going to be surprised. We may be. We will be. But the thing about it is that we should not be just totally shocked, like, oh no, the Lord's coming today. It should be, praise God, He's coming. That should be our attitude. That should be, and that would be Elisha's attitude. He could say, praise God, I've seen the prophet go. I've seen him go because he was following him. He had been called of God to carry on the work that Elijah had started. He was called of God. Don't be distracted in seeking the blessing. Now that he has that promise in hand, how well we perform when we do not have within our grasp some specific promise or reward is a great revealer of the condition of our faith. Watch this now. I want you to look at this now. Elijah waited until they had done crossed Jordan. Now they had already been to Bethel and Jericho and no doubt wherever else they were through the 20-year period that we don't read of Elisha after his initial calling. But here in our text, they'd been to Bethel, they had been to Jericho, they had been down to Jordan. And here, after they got across the Jordan, Elijah says, ask what I shall do for thee. Ask what I shall do for thee. You see, Elijah did not make the promise till across the Jordan. Great faith looks at God as revealed in His Word and says, I can trust Him in the dark. You see, this is a statement of the condition of your faith. Does God have to make you some promise at the start to get you to go to the end with Him? Or can He wait? Or are you just committed to Him because you love Him? What's the statement? What's the condition of your faith? You see, Elijah didn't tell Elijah over here in verse number 1, Elisha, I'm going to give you whatever you want if you'll follow me. He didn't do that. He waited till the end. He said, I'll give you whatever you want. He said, just ask. I wonder if we were in that situation there, if we put ourselves in Elisha's shoes there. And Elijah came to us in verse 2 and said, hey, Tim, tarry here, I pray thee. I got to go down to Bethel. Brother Gerald, I got to go down to Bethel. Tarry here, just wait. We hadn't gotten any promise now. You see, listen, you see what I'm saying? He waited till after Jordan. He said, now ask what you shall, ask what you will, and I'll give it to you. It'll be done unto you. He waited till after Jordan. You see, this shows Elisha's commitment. This shows Elisha. Would we have tarried behind? Would we have waited when he asked the first time? Man, he ain't said nothing about what I'm going to get out of this. Is that our attitude? Lord, what am I going to get out of this? What the difficulties and trials come. Lord, what am I getting out of this? Man, I'm supposed, I've sold out to God. Now this comes. This trial comes in my life. This trouble comes. I'm in the midst of a difficult situation. Man, I've sold out. Why is this coming? No. Elisha, he stayed committed. We ought to stay committed. Stay committed. Stay committed. You see, folks, we've got a lot waiting on us. And the difficulties and the trials we have here are nothing. The things that we go through here are nothing to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. So stay committed. Stay committed. Not only do we see the stipulation of the promise, let's look at the stewardship of the promise, and I'll be closing down. The blessing of Elijah's promise would have been worthless and no blessing at all if Elisha had not been a good steward of the promise. We can die of thirst, even though we are living next to a cool, pure, continually flowing stream, if we do not partake of that stream. Elisha's excellent stewardship is a promise seen and his request made to Elijah and his remaining with Elijah. His request made to Elijah. Notice this, the speed of his request. Elisha didn't wait. He didn't wait for a few minutes and say, well, let me think about what I want. Well, you know, I think I want a car or a home or, you know, give me a herd of camels or whatever. But it was quick. He said he did not waste time. He wanted to be sure his request was made before Elijah was taken away. Secondly, we see the spirituality of his request. Elisha did not ask for fortune or fame. He regarded his spiritual needs as most important. He said, I want a double portion. Lord, give me a double portion. I just want a double portion. Would we do the same? If you were given an open-ended request, which we have it in the Lord. I mean, we just read it over in John. In the New Testament, John chapter 14, We read it there. What do we ask for? What do we ask for? Maybe you're not getting what you're asking for is because you're not asking for the right things. Elisha said, I want a double portion. Not only that, we see the size of his request. We see the size of the request. Elijah told him, he said, man, he said, woo. He said, that you've asked a hard thing. But nevertheless, see, there's nothing too big for God. Nothing too big for God. Elijah said, you've asked a hard thing. But listen, but he said, if you'll see me, if you just see me, the observation, remember, he's got to see him when he goes. And the reason Elijah said that is because Elisha had to stay committed. Folks, listen, if you fall by the wayside along the way and you get discouraged and defeated and you quit, you're not going to see the realization of the blessing. You're not going to see the realization. I'm not saying you're not saved, nothing like that. I'm just saying that you're not going to see the fulfillment of the full blessing of God on your life if you don't follow him, if you don't go with him. His remaining with Elijah. He stayed with Elijah. He stayed with him. Too often we ask, seek, and knock a few times and then get discouraged and quit. You see, because the Lord said, asking it shall be given unto you, seeking you shall find, knocking it shall be opened unto you. But too often we get discouraged after a few times and we don't see it and we quit. Quit asking. Elisha proved in this test he had great spiritual commitment, and that brought him great compensation. And you see, that compensation, it can do the same for us too, if we'll stay committed. If we'll stay committed. How committed are you? How's your commitment? Let's stay committed to it. I appreciate you. Y'all dismissed. Thank you.